So thank you very much for having me here. I'm really happy to have the opportunity to present some data. This is a large study with a lot of people. I'm just mentioning those who were directly involved in this part, but it's a team with, I think, 12 or 14 investigators. So this is my disclosure. The focus of this presentation, like you just heard, is going to be about the biological measures that are related to stress. In this case, cortisol, so that's inside of our body. And I'm going to be looking at the difference in cortisol in individuals who are exposed to very different environments, very stressful environments, living in two different countries. And we're also going to be looking at cortisol and how it's affected by the depressive symptoms that these two groups are receiving. So just to be clear, why are we interested in these topics? So of course, everyone is exposed to stress, but we're not exposed to stress to the same degree. So what you feel right now is probably a little bit lower than what I'm feeling right now because I'm talking in front of you. But this is just an acute stress. What we live, the living conditions, that can accumulate and be very stressful and accumulate throughout your life course. And eventually, after several years, burden the body and mind. And stress and mental health, as we all know, they are very important public health concerns. Now, one of the gaps that we know from the literature is that not many studies have looked at these topics across countries. So most of the studies are within one country, and even there you already see some difference between the regions and all, but it's becoming more important to compare countries because that's where you see the more variation, the greater variation in the living condition. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about stress just to make sure, because I realize that there's not many presentations in this conference about the biological measures. This is relatively new in the public health field to bring the biological measures into the public health concern. So just, do we have, okay. So this here is what we can see. This is physiological response. It could be cortisol, it could be blood pressure, it could be anything that your body produces. So normally when you're exposed to stress, you have an increase, an activation in physiology, and then eventually goes down. This is a normal response. What happens is that there are different profiles where the body is having inadequate response, and that can burden the system. So for example, you're exposed to one type of stressor, you have an increase, it goes down, everything is fine, but right after that you're exposed to something else. So it's repeatedly exposed to different kind of stressors, so you always have an activation, it doesn't stop. Another situation is, for example, you're exposed to several times to the same stressor, but you're failing to adapt. So adaptation is, as you go on being exposed, you have a smaller and smaller response, but in this case, when the body goes wrong, you always have a high increase, regardless of the number of times you're exposed to that. Another situation is when you mount a normal response, but you don't shut down, the system doesn't stop, even though the stressor is not there anymore. So then you have ongoing activation, and eventually it weakens your body. And the fourth condition, the fourth situation is actually the worst, is when you fail to mount a response, and that would prevent you from providing enough energy to face the stressful the situation. So we want a response, but we want also to be able to shut that down once the stress is done. So but just to use that kind of idea, we can also apply that to your level of cortisol during the day. So you don't. So it's not only specifically at during a stressful period, but it's also during the day. The cortisol secretion during the day has an increase in the morning, and it goes gradually down during the day for the lowest level in the evening, and then goes right up. We're going to be, for a lot of studies, we're focusing on what's going on during the day and not at night, so that's easier to assess. And there's a little peak here in the morning. Within the first hour, there's a peak. So there's two things that we can measure. We can measure that cortisol awakening response, and we can measure the diurnal decrease, the slope. Now, in situations of moderate stress, everything goes a little bit higher. But in situation of chronic stress, suddenly the body is too weak to respond, and you have lower response in the morning. and also lower variation during the day. And this is a situation that we want to avoid, because at that point you reach a chronic stress situation. So I'm going to stop here with the biology, because those are just a few two features that we want to focus on in this presentation. So I mentioned that before, just to summarize all that, the gap in the literature is that not a lot of people have looked at the biological measures of cortisol and mental health across countries, and that's what we're going to be doing today, looking at presenting today, looking at two groups of people living in two different countries and how it changed depending on their depressive symptoms. So I'm presenting data on two groups, but this is part of a larger study that has four international sites. So in Canada, Brazil, Colombia, and Albania. And then with time we'll have the interesting data, because all these countries are very different in terms of living conditions. So just to give you a summary of the two groups that we have, the Canadian samples, we have 60 people, 60 participants. They're all aging so that it's easier to see the accumulative stress during their life course. They live in the middle class suburbs southeast of Montreal. And we also have a Brazilian sample, the same age group. They have lived all their life in Santa Cruz in the North Brazil area. And this is an underprivileged poor area. So a lot of them were rural farmers. They spent 60, 70 years of their lifetime as farm workers. So we're looking at two measures, depressive symptoms using the DSD, and we're also looking at cortisol profile. So the DSD is to assess depressive symptoms in the past week. And the cortisol profile, just like I mentioned a little bit before, looking at the awakening response in the morning, so the little peak there in the first hour of awakening, and then the rest of the profile during the day. So let's spend a little minute here to compare the two groups, because this is important. The two groups that we have, So we have more women than men in the Canadian samples, and this is a bias that we regularly see when we do data collection. We're trying to avoid that, but with a larger sample, we'll be able to better compare gender and sex differences. For the Brazilians, it was easier. We had a very balanced group with men and women. So they are both samples have the same age. For education, it's pretty spread out for all three levels of education in both sides. However, for the Brazilians, the level of education attainment is a lot lower, so the maximum is primary school or a little bit higher, and while we have university in Canada. Another difference between the two sample sizes is whether they live alone or not. So a lot of the Brazilians live with a relative, and that you don't see that very often in Canada. And I think this is also the case in the U.S. For education, it's pretty spread out for manual, non-manual, and professional. In the Brazilians, they have a lot more manual workers or former workers, because a lot of them have stopped working. And this is an interesting thing, is that their current income right now, regardless of their type of occupation, you have a majority saying that they have enough income to cover their basic needs. And in Brazil, this is translated as the minimum salary. So not that many have less than a minimum salary. And so this is kind of surprising, but if you just look back in the history of all the implemented programs, 5 years ago, approximately 5 years ago, there's a pension plan that was implemented. But it doesn't mean that they have lived all their life in a very comfortable situation. So actually, they're all former farm workers. But now it's just recent that they have enough income. So now we're just going to look at one set of results, and that's it. So enough of all the curves in the table. In red, you have the Canadian sample, and in green, you have the Brazilian. So as you can see, there's a big difference between red and green. From the graph I've shown you before, you want high levels in the morning, decreasing at during the evening, at low at night. So you can see that the Canadians have a pretty sharp variation in the morning and the afternoon, but that variation is a lot smaller for the Brazilians. And in the dotted points here, so the dotted points is for the elevate depressive symptoms. So you can see that for Canadians, the level is just a little bit higher. There's not a large difference between those with depression depressive symptoms and those without. But in the Brazilians, it's the presence of depressive symptoms makes the curve even flatter. So this, what does it mean? I'm just going to show you one other graph to focus on this part here, and that's where you have the largest difference. So here again, the Canadians are in red, and the Brazilians are in green, and only those who are Brazilian and with elevated depressive symptoms have a blunted cortisol response in the morning. So this is indicative of, like I said before, of the chronic stress feature. And so then our data suggests that there are signs of chronic stress in the elderly individuals living in Santa Cruz, and that depressive symptoms would add to that burden. We have, like I mentioned before, some limitations in the study. There's more men, more women than men in the Canadian sample, so we're currently unable to look at the gender difference, but this is part of a larger study with four or five different sites. I think it's up to 200 people in each site, so then we'll be able to look at gender differences. And also the study is longitudinal, so we'll be able to see how having the new pension plan can also help pull off the situation a little bit. So I'm going to end with some implications, and then I'm ready for questions. Cortisol in adults. It's a predictor, a mediator of future health problems. So then their next step is also to look at how it's related to different functional and clinical impact in the individuals. And we're also interested in looking at another type of biological measure, inflammation, because a recent study has shown that individuals in Bolivia have greater inflammation than those living in the United States. And we know that inflammation and cortisol, they're both part of the stress response. So then that's the next step, is to look at inflammation and see where it is situated, where it is in all that pathway. If the cortisol is creating some inflammatory, or is the reverse, where does it sit and all that. And my last point for today is ideas of what I'm doing in the next few years. We're interested in looking at the same features, the same questions, but in immigrants, because immigrants now, in Canada anyway, represent 20% of the population, so those are small numbers. And if you look, especially in Ontario, there's 45% of the population in Toronto. So this is our next question, is to look at immigrants who are coming from a low-income country and living in a high-income country. All right.
Perfect timing.
Absolutely.
Perfect timing. Incredibly important looking at the sort of interaction between biology and environment. So anybody in the room have a question or two?
Even just on the basic use of cortisol, because it's a brand new thing in public health.
Yeah, I was curious how you were measuring that cortisol.
It's saliva, so if you look
that
at the little...
Amylase test or whatever? Amylase test that they use?
Amylase, it's a little harder to, because I practiced that a few years back, and it's really variable. So in the same group, sometimes they have people with really high, so I decided after my PhD to just leave that to some other people who can investigate that better and know why it was so variable. But for the cortisol, within the same group, it's very stable. Well, within the individual, very stable, but in the same group too. So it's even with 20, 25 people in the sample, it can have a pretty stable measure. So it's a lot.
You're looking at stresses. Are you also looking at resources that people might have, whether it's family or personal, mm-hmm. that might affect their patterns?
Yes. So we have a lot of data. That's why I'm just showing a few today. But there's the social support, social network, which is not the same as social support. And these questions are also going to be coming in more interesting for immigrants, because when they move, they don't have the same social support. But from what I've seen, they, in the first year after moving, after immigrating, they don't expect to have large social support. They know that. So the social support aspect doesn't mean the same thing if you're an elderly resident since birth in one same place. It means that your family is not connecting with you. But if you're an immigrant and you change country, it's expected for a few years to build up. So the role of each of these protective factors.
Any other comments?
is the assumption of what you just displayed, that the environment that the two groups were exposed to differed, and that changed the cortisol pattern?
Yes. We're going to dig in a little bit more in these topics. So we have information about the childhood exposure to stress, for example, that were they exposed to poverty, hunger, health problems, and also problems in adulthood and current, which is an older age. So we're going to look at whether it's each of these things or a specific timing of it or the accumulation of each of these things. So we're looking into that.
Because I was curious as to the role of culture long term and then evolutionary demand for cortisol.
I'm not sure I understand what you're talking about.
If you live in a culture where the cortisol is used, needed, versus one where it is not needed.
But cortisol, you always need cortisol to, it's just like adrenaline or blood pressure, so you always need that to provide energy to
things.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Heather.